Welcome to Learn Something New Every Day. I am Joan Boyko, Coordinator of Communications and Community Outreach for the Palm Springs Unified School District. We are here each Sunday at 6:30 a.m. on 99.1 FM KGX and 9 a.m. on 92.3 FM KWXY. We also invite you to download and subscribe to our podcast. It is really easy. All you have to do is go to iTunes, look for You Learn Something New, press subscribe. You will get a new show each week. This show, of course, is produced by my dynamic duo of student interns in the Digital Arts Technology Academy, also known as DATA, at Cathedral City High School under the direction of Mr. Bryce Johnson. Our interns are Jasmine Rivera and Myra Canseco, and they are doing a most stellar job each and every week. Thank you, ladies, for everything that you do, and I hope you enjoy a well-earned winter break for these next 3 weeks. Today, I am very pleased to welcome our most special guest of all guests, our superintendent of schools, Dr. Sandra Lyon. Welcome back, Dr. Lyon.
Thank you, Joan. I appreciate you having me.
Thanks for being here. And we do have you back from time to time to give us updates and all the news, good, bad, ugly, everything in between. And we were due to do that anyway, but I did push it up a little bit because you did make an announcement earlier this week, and as much as I was not happy to hear it as many others, I did want to take the opportunity for you to share it with everybody. So tell us about your announcement.
Thank you, Joan. Well, after a lot of soul searching and thought, I have decided that it's time to retire at the end of this school year. I've been in education 34 years, and I've loved every minute, but as a friend of mine told me, when it's time, and you'll know it. And that moment happened for me.
And in a blink of an eye, it's already been almost 5 years, and it's just, like, unbelievable to think that, because it feels like, I mean, in some ways, it feels like you've been here forever, and in other ways, it feels like you just got here. And we won't spend the whole show reflecting and reminiscing, because we have time for that, and I know you want to focus on the work for the next 6 months, so we will do that. But just one thing that comes to mind: when I met you, which was a few weeks before you actually started, you did have some few brief meetings with the members of cabinet, and when I met you, I relayed a message that I had received that one of our very long time Board of Education members, who was also employed by the district for many years, so he probably had, I'm guessing, 60 years or more between the two of them under his belt, Don Akins, who probably, if I had to, in my 20 plus years in the district, reflect on a person who's been the most dedicated in terms of commitment to doing everything in all capacities for kids. He was literally on his deathbed at Desert Regional, and his health was failing. And he did manage to tell our previous assistant to the superintendent, who had retired already, that he really would like to meet the new superintendent. And that's something that he cherished. Every time we had a new superintendent, take him to lunch, give him all the feedback and his history and everything he felt they needed to know. And you, in the blink of an eye, just said, let's go, like right now. And I just, of course, knowing you as I know you now doesn't surprise me, but at the time I was like, oh my goodness, I was I was pretty blown away. And we went over there, and he opened his eyes and took your hand and said, what did he say?
Well, one of the things he said was, you're going to make many lifelong friendships here. And that was true.
Yeah, and I know that he and his wife, who you remain close with, she worked for us too. I know it meant the world to them. So that
When you asked me and mentioned it, I knew immediately he must be sort of an institution here, and this is important. And I wanted to connect with him because everybody had conveyed to me that, and he did, that, you know, he was able to talk a little bit when we got there. He held my hand the whole time, if you remember that. And one of the things that he said was he was just really disappointed that we weren't going to get to have lunch. As you said, he had really looked forward to that. So, you know, that matters in a school community. And I didn't want to miss the opportunity to connect with somebody who cared so much about the district that he was still worried about it while he was in the hospital.
And probably it was before you started, it probably helped cement your decision to join us. And then I remember you saying when we had the visits with community members and staff that we scheduled when you started, that you just, you know, felt the love, like it wasn't fake, it was for real.
No, it's true. And you know, I used to tease Mike Sweezy when I first started that every time somebody talked about our district, they put their hand over their heart and said, "Oh, I love our district." And I told them it didn't take me long to realize exactly why people felt that way. And now I find myself doing it because it really is a special, unique place. And you know, you mentioned earlier that it seems like you've been here forever, and I feel that way. You know, I did come and do some training, and so I had some connection to the district from years before. But it is one of those places, and sometimes that happens in your life where you go somewhere and you feel like, I've been here all the time. And that is how Palm Springs Unified has felt for me.
Well, and we've all felt that too. In my position, I certainly hear from different people and in different factions of the administration and staff, and I have literally not heard a bad word about you. So, and I really
well,
think,
it'll come.
I don't think so. The superintendent before you, Chris Anderson, I mean, you guys are different in a lot of respects, but the one commonality is I didn't hear anything bad about her when she was here either. And I didn't hear anything after she left. So
Okay, well, that's good then.
Yes. So it's a high note, and we will have a few more opportunities to reflect on all of that later on. But for now, here we are. December 20th, and in terms of the COVID-19 pandemic, we are really still in the throes of it. Though we do have good news, and we've had our first medical professionals getting vaccinations, and there's at least two good ones out there, so we're all hopeful.
Yes.
We're in a bad place right now. So give everybody an update on where we are and how things are looking for the second semester.
Sure. Well, I'll just give a little background. I'm sure everybody knows this, but when the governor laid out the blueprint for a safer economy, one of the things that was done in that plan was to tier the counties in terms of their positivity rate and their case rate. Per 100,000. And you could be in the purple tier, which is widespread, and move all the way down to yellow, which is a lower minimal spread. Right now, Riverside County is in the purple tier. But in addition to that, as everybody knows, in the beginning of December, when our case rates started soaring and our ICU bed availability started declining, the state, the California Department of Public Health and Health and Human Services, put the state into regions, and then decided that when these areas get to purple, there would be a shutdown and the slowing of sort of services that would be available. And so we are in the southern region, and we are in purple. So in addition to the county being in purple, we really are surrounded right now with a number of counties that are in the same boat. So I say all of that because initially with the Blueprint for a Safer Economy, the plan was that when districts moved to red, they would have the opportunity to open for in-person instruction, but only in a hybrid sort of way where you could keep 6 feet of social distancing, everyone would be masked, there'd be plexiglass, and you know, all of the safety precautions that we know are so important. So Riverside County was only very briefly in the red tier and moved quickly back to purple, and we've sat there ever since. And so in our state, you have to be in the sort of better numbers for 2 weeks to move to that lower tier or higher tier, however you want to look at it. And then you have to be there for another 2 weeks in order to open school. So if you do the math on that, we would have to have improved significantly to be able to move into that red tier. And for a month, you'd have to have that happening. So back in the fall, when we really didn't know sort of what we might be looking at, we anticipated that we could perhaps be moving toward, and I guess we're still in the fall until December 21st, but we started anticipating that we might be able to do that hybrid instruction in January. It became clear then at the 1st of December when we went to this regional, you know, widespread purple status that that wasn't going to happen for us here in Riverside County. And so what we're forecasting right now is a middle February start for our elementaries and a March start, middle of March, toward the end of March, when we begin the fourth quarter.
So, and that, of course, is dependent upon what happens during these next 3 or 4 weeks.
Right. Everything's predicated on that. And our Board of Education has been crystal clear, as has our staff, that we are not moving to in-person instruction until we know that we have the health and safety status to be able to do that. So, you know, the good news is we have two board meetings in January, so we will be updating everyone on the status in that first board meeting, which is January 12th, and then we'll have January 26th. We should have a good indication of whether or not that is still a realistic timeline. The other thing I want to add is that the legislature has had two bills introduced in these last couple of weeks that would compel districts to open once they move into the red status. And that was really a response to districts already taking action to stay in distance learning through the end of the year. And, you know, we haven't done that yet. We've kept that door open. And I've told this story that in many ways for me, it feels like it used to when I was a superintendent principal in a tiny district where I would have to go out and sort of tramp around in the snow and ice at 4 o'clock in the morning and decide if I could get the buses on the road at 5 o'clock safely and get them up. We were on a very steep, at the top of a very steep hill, and safely. And so sometimes I would go out and it would be slippery and icy and cold and cloudy and snowing. And I'd make the call, and by 8 o'clock, it was sunny and everything was melted. And people would say, why do we have a snow day? And so in some ways it feels that way now. I mean,
I'm sure the kids didn't say that.
No, they didn't. But the adults at home would.
Yeah.
And so when you think about that, we have all these adults at home with their children now. And if we were in a position to bring students back on campus in some form, I think they would want us to entertain that. And so we're just going to keep that open right now. And we're going to give enough forewarning so that families, staff members, students can all get prepared for that transition to some more in-person learning. And it's important to note that no matter what we do, families will have an option to stay in distance learning if that works best for them at this time.
Yeah, we did when we were looking at the hope and the possibility of being able to return way earlier. We already did that survey, but we're going to go ahead and open it up again at some point.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we know people's situations may have changed over time, and so we want to give people ample opportunities to make that choice. We know that some of our families who said they wanted to stay on distance learning have actually been sending their students to the learning hub. So we know people's minds may have changed one way or the other.
Right. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Learn Something New Every Day on KGX, KWXY, and my guest is our superintendent of schools, Dr. Sandra Lyon. And, you know, for me, and I'm sure for all of the staff here and the parents who are keeping up on everything, it doesn't cease to amaze me how especially our educational services department has not stopped for one single minute, in moving forward with our plans to get ready to return to hybrid. So it's not return to hybrid, to start the hybrid program. So it's not, none of this is about us not being ready to do that. We will be ready when the time is right, but the health and safety of our students and staff has to be the top priority, as it's always been.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, I just have to give kudos to every employee in every division and department, but you're right. Our educational services folks had to pivot. They had to turn on a dime, and they did it, and they've been able to go deeper and better and support our schools and our teachers with this very different format of teaching. Some of our veterans, this is not something for me. If I was, you know, in the classroom right now, I would be learning a whole lot of new stuff. And we have people who are just like, bring it on, let me learn. I want to do what's best for my students, and it's amazing. So our staff have really risen to the occasion, and I couldn't be more grateful for everything that they do every day, to do everything they can to make sure their students are getting high quality instruction and that they're learning.
It's really, it really is pretty incredible when you see and hear about what is being accomplished despite the challenges, whether they be technical or the fact that it's got to be an so difficult and frustrating at times to try to manage a class of 30 kids online.
It's hard enough in the room when you can use proximity, which we always said is the teacher's best friend, right? You could walk next to a student and they sit up. And now in this virtual world, they can't even tell for sure if you're looking at them.
Right.
So it really has required a whole different set of skills to be developed, and they're doing it. And, you know, I have a student advisory group that I meet with once a month just to say, how's it going? You know, you've got my ear. What do I need to know? And they're amazing kids. And I know you get to sit in there with me. And honestly, isn't it the highlight of our month? They're just amazing.
Yes. The last thing I look for is another meeting to attend, but I look forward to that one.
Yeah, it's a good one. But they always say, and you know this, they say how hard their teachers are working and how appreciative. Of course, they're armchair quarterbacks and they love to give feedback about how it could be better, but they really genuinely appreciate their teachers and all that they're doing to try to keep kids engaged.
Yeah, and I, you know, we talk about you have to find the silver linings, and there are actually many.
Yeah.
And I think one of them are what we'll be able to bring forward when we do return back to school. And, you know, one of the things is maybe the high school schedule. It seems like the high school kids really like the fact that they're only taking three classes at a time instead of six.
Right, and we hear that from them as well. And I think what we've heard too in those meetings is they like the flexibility.
Right.
They like going on and watching a video and accessing some of the class stuff in the evening. And doing other things in the afternoon. So, you know, for years I've talked about the idea that we really need to create an environment where every student takes an online class. Well, here we are. And I think going forward, like you said, there will be vestiges of this that we carry forward to create a better system and a more flexible system that meets students' needs.
Right. And that's really true about, you have been saying that since you've gotten here, about, you know, moving to a hybrid kind of educational opportunity, so that we're, you know, because when kids get to college, they will likely be in that situation where not all of their classes are going to be in person.
Right. And I think we know that's going to be something that colleges and universities will definitely have in their toolkit now if they weren't doing it before, and many of them were.
Oh, despite the I'll say more than occasional glitches, because there's a lot of them, not in our control. It's, you know, it's technology, and it's the internet, and there are things that happen. But thank goodness we have this.
Yeah.
And it is It is pretty amazing. And all of our staff in all the different departments, I mean, Nutritional Services has served 4.5 million meals to our families since March, which is way more than they typically do
when
school's in session. So if you haven't had an opportunity to look at our Facebook page lately, there's a really great video tribute to our Nutritional Services heroes, and they are. They're working so hard, as is our technology department and our teacher. I mean, there isn't anybody who isn't.
I mean, everybody's keeping everything moving. Security, you know, they're there every food delivery day, and they're any kind of school pickup day, and they're making sure our campuses are safe and secure. And so you can look around the district at all the folks who have stepped up and kept things moving throughout the pandemic. It's pretty doggone impressive.
And honestly, Sandy, it's a, you know, you lead by example, and you are truly a leader by example. I was out on the last day before winter break, which was 2 days ago, and this certainly wasn't the first time. You've been out actually on the front line of serving meals, packaging the meals, and you were out there for our special meal distribution that we did for the holidays. And I know that the Nutritional Services staff and the parents really appreciate that. So, you know, it just shows everybody that you're not afraid to get your hands dirty and get right in there too.
No,
so
thank you for that. You know, during the pandemic, I think the thing that's hardest for me is not being able to be at site and more involved in what's happening around the district.
Yeah,
being
it's true.
The desk has been really challenging.
I've been put in for mileage since March.
Yeah.
We haven't gone anywhere.
Yeah, we haven't gone anywhere.
I mean, we're all looking forward to the day when we can welcome at least half our kids back on campus. So,
and we will. You know, and that we keep saying that we just need people to hang in there. And as soon as we can get folks back, and I just appreciate that everybody's been flexible about that, because as you know, we are on weekly calls with the county. I'm on regular calls around the state level to find out what's coming down from the state. Things change every week. We've learned more about the virus. We've learned more about what we can do to be cautious. We're learning more about who are and who aren't susceptible, and what environments are safer than others. And you know, the good news is, in studies across the world, schools seem to be places where, if all the precautions are in place, they are not, what's the word I'm looking for? They're not surge points, right? They don't create more cases. They do reflect the case level in the community. And that's why, in a purple status, we are not able to be open. But it gives me great comfort that when we do open, we will have all of our measures in place, and kids can come to school and teachers can come to school. And as long as what they're doing outside of that school setting is safe and cautious, those school settings will be the same.
And there has been, I don't know if it's been a final determination yet, but there certainly has been a lot of discussion about educators being near, you know, right after the medical professionals to get vaccinated because of how essential they are.
Yeah, that was recommended yesterday, and I also don't know when they'll take action on that or make the final decision, but teachers are essential, and school employees that work with kids are essential. And
well,
so if you hope they're prioritized.
Well, seriously, if you look at it in terms of the levels of the workforce who are essential and how essential they are, this is pretty near the top, second to the medical community.
Right.
So, and that brings us full circle into the reason that we're not coming back yet, is because we have to keep everybody safe. And thankfully, we have a Board of Education and administration that embraces that, because if they didn't, there'd be a whole lot of upheaval. And you know, and yes, there's a minimal amount of upheaval from people who for some reason still don't believe any of this, which I can't believe that they don't, but there is a faction of people that just say, you know, it'll be fine, bring them back to school. And maybe that's so, but until we feel comfortable with the situation and the numbers, that we can do that, because we really don't want to be in a situation where we bring kids back and then we have a quote outbreak, which is only a few cases, like three in a classroom, which you wouldn't consider an outbreak, but when it comes to COVID-19, it is. We don't want to have to shut down classrooms or shut down schools or shut down the district.
That's right. So, I'm glad we're going at a pace that allows us to be judicious and make the right decisions at the right time. And again, keeping the door open, you know, that if it's possible for us to come back between now and June safely and securely, we want to give everybody that option. You know, our teachers and our school staff, our principals, and also kudos to them, because they have really, they've been at schools every day, keeping things running. They want to see kids. They miss their kids. They don't know them in the way that our principals regularly do. And I was at a school yesterday where they were doing a distribution of some books and things, and to see the parents and see the kids so excited to see their teachers in the flesh.
Yeah, they haven't seen them yet.
So moving, right?
So in the last couple of minutes, as we start a 3-week winter break, well-earned winter break, for especially for our staff.
Yeah.
What advice do you have for our staff, students, and families at this time?
Well, a couple of things. Number one, don't let your guard down over the holidays. I think this is so hard for all of us, because this is the time we congregate. We're with family and friends, and you know, we travel, we do all those things. And you know, we made the decision as a family not to get together with my two sons and my daughter-in-law this year, because it's just not safe to do so. And if somebody gets sick, and you know, you just don't know how you're going to react to this virus.
Exactly.
We would feel so bad about it. So if you can, if your circumstances permit, you know, stay safe and do what you can there. And then I would really say, take care of yourself. This is a time for you to regroup, pat yourself on the back for an amazing semester of work, whatever role you have in our district. You have done an amazing job. And just rest, exercise, eat right, do all the things that take care of you. And we had a lady do a workshop with our leadership a couple weeks ago, and the thing that I loved she said was, stop and have awe moments. And I think we in education, we keep our nose to the grindstone, we move forward day after day. But over these 3 weeks, whether you're a student, a staff member, a parent, a community member, take time to stop and look around and see all that we have here in the amazing Coachella Valley. We are very lucky to live here. We ultimately have each other, and we're going to be back to where we were before. And I actually think it's going to be better in some ways, because we've missed each other so much. We will be so appreciative to be in each other's company again.
Exactly right. And I hope, Sandy, that you will take everything that you just said to heart, and not only talk the talk, but walk the walk, and take some time for yourself, and enjoy your husband, and nobody's earned it more. So,
well, likewise, and you don't often get the credit that you deserve, but I know how hard you've worked, and media is very interested in what we're doing right now, and understandably so. And you've been promoting and letting people know what's happening. So kudos to you, Joan.
Thank you, Sandy. And we'll have you back a couple more times before we have to make this a different kind of ending. So
I know. Well, I'm not ready for
thank
that.
You,
yet,
thank you. Me neither. Our show airs each Sunday right here on KWXY and KGX. Our podcast is uploaded each week. Please subscribe by going to iTunes. Look for You Learn Something New. Press subscribe. Please tell all your friends to do the same. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Jasmine and Myra. Have a great winter break. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.